This is The Spot, where we're talking about what you're talking about on the campus of BYU-Idaho. Today's hosts are Virginia Henry, Logan Miller, and Dale Spaulding. The views and opinions in this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho Radio or the university and are solely the opinions of the hosts.
Hello and welcome to The Spot, where we talk about what you're talking about on the campus of BYU-Idaho.
I'm Virginia Henry.
And I'm Logan Miller.
I'm Dale Spaulding. Thanks so much for joining us today. We are talking today about a bunch of different changes that have happened in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And even that, saying it that way, is a change for the church. There's a ton of stuff that we want to talk about today, but let's start with the most recent update. There's this new temple that's just been opened, open house style, in Rome. Now think about that. Like, the New Testament is completely centered in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
What can you imagine what people must be feeling, especially the saints, but what must people be feeling knowing that there's another, I guess, stalwart church that worships Jesus Christ that is now in the presence of a strong Christian community?
Yeah, I remember hearing about the Rome Temple. Oh my goodness, when was it announced?
Like, it was
years and years ago. I remember being like 14 or 15, and I had these two friends who were, you know, we're in love and we're going to get married in the Rome Temple. And I was like, all right, whatever. They're not together anymore, right?
Sad story.
Well, I mean, come on. Like, how many people are when you have a relationship of like 14 or 15?
Right. Okay. So that's the context. I'm glad we have that now.
Yeah, yeah. But I just remember hearing about it then, and I didn't think that much of it. And I think it's well, it's interesting that it took so long to come about, to be built and everything, but the church always has a tendency to do things very carefully, the correct way to avoid any issues. And first of all, I mean, it's just amazing that there is a temple in the same city as the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is huge, right? It's just, it's, I think it's a statement. I think it's, I mean, we've had conferences where, I mean, President Eyring is at the same conference as other religious leaders, and they talk about the importance of religious freedom and all these things. And so it's unifying, I think, more so than it's dividing. It's just a beautiful temple, as they all are.
Yeah. This one's really unique, too. It reminds me of the Rexburg Temple, because that's one we live closest to. But it's also kind of just this rounded motif. It's not a big rectangle shape like ours is, and it has two spires, I think, right?
Yeah,
I'd have to look it up.
Well, that kind of fits like the architecture of Rome too.
Right.
So, like, if it fits the whole, you know, circular type of building there, and I it's really cool.
Yeah.
So I think they fit that with what's going on and being built there. So
it's so cool to me that like each temple is unique to the culture and the environment that you find it in, and I really appreciate that about the leaders of the church and them being able to share these blessings in a very personal way with each individual member.
Yeah. Did you know that there's a picture of the founding fathers in the Philadelphia Temple?
I did not know that.
Fun fact. Yeah, it's very colonial, the architecture of the Philadelphia Temple that opened last year or 2 years ago, something like that. But yeah, they have a picture of the founding fathers inside because we personally believe that the Constitution was inspired of God.
Right.
Because liberty and freedom and humanity are all, you know, important to God in our opinion or belief system. So yeah, that's another example of being unique to an area.
Even following up like the temples idea, we have gone from so many like temples in the past few years. President Monson and President Hinckley started off just this huge flow of temples, and then things kind of petered off as President Monson started to get older and started to get, I guess, more sickly. I don't know if that's the right word.
Right.
But in 1 year, President Nelson gave everyone a heart attack. He goes from one conference where he says 7 additional temples are now being announced, including one in Russia. That was the big thing. Ooh, Russia, Russia. And then he wasn't done. He went on to say 12 additional temples throughout the world.
Yeah, I heard, I don't remember who I heard it from, so take it with a grain of salt on whether or not it's true. but I heard that President Nelson went into the temple department and was like, okay, what's our capacity of temples each year? And they said some low number, right? Like 4? I don't know. You know, something like that, right? Like a lower number, less than 10.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, we need 40. That's how much we need. and we need to start adjusting things in other areas of the church so we can allow the budget to go more towards building temples, because that's how important it is and how important temples are to our faith. And so I thought that was amazing. I was like, whoa, jump. Okay, like if he does 40 in a year, I mean, even, okay, right now, you know, we just had 7
we're
and then 12.
We're sitting on 19.
Yeah, and so we're halfway there.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's, what? You know, you think of it, that's crazy. Anyway.
Right. And I don't know, it's... That almost connects us into our next topic, too. Not to, like, transition too quickly, but if that holds true, you know, like going down the chain type of a thing, if that holds true, which I really feel would be amazing, doesn't it make sense then, in some aspects, for the leadership of the church as a tertiary benefit to shorten church meetings to only 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I'm not asserting that that is exactly the reason why they did that. I'm saying that it's a possibility. That maybe they were conscious of that as they made that decision. Ultimately, changing it to 2 hours to church was not a part of that, so far as we know. But I really do appreciate that President Nelson sees the need for temples, especially nowadays. Like you see out in the world, people can kind of get down and scared about how things are going.
Yeah.
But in the end, temples are a reminder, a physical reminder of the potential we have to be with God again. And not just with God, but with our families.
Well, they're havens of peace as well.
Exactly.
So in a crazy world.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so like, if you, it's better for like both a spiritual aspect and just like the actual, like, you know, like the literal aspect is that I heard about with the Vancouver, Canada temple.
Yeah.
That people who lived in like that part of Canada had to travel across the border to Seattle in order to, you know, do temple work.
Right.
Which, I mean, of course, literally, that's really annoying. So, you know, like when they make it possible for, and that's all over the world now.
Right.
Like you see that getting you see so many of these temples getting built in so many of these awesome places to help people that want to do this kind of work but can't, but like, you know, now that's going to happen. And now we know it's just another great example of hastening the work and seeing how the Lord's helping that come to pass.
Absolutely. So. And I just, taking it back to like 2 hour church and that, seeing the effect that's had, hopefully we're able to play some segments from like people on the street and what they think of 2 hour church.
Sure.
But I love it. I mean, not just because it's like, yay, another extra hour of my day, but I just love it for the fact that, the Lord, through President Nelson, that revelation chain here, is basically saying, y'all need to get your act together because you can't keep relying on your Sunday school teacher or your bishop or, you know, and expect their testimony to carry yours.
Right.
You need to be able to receive personal revelation and have a relationship with me. You know, he's basically like their new slogan, the new or whatever is, home-centered, church-supported.
Right.
And I love that. I think that that is just great. And that it's going to be a huge... You're going to be able to tell the difference between the families and the individuals who actually use this extra hour on Sunday to become more converted to Jesus Christ and those who don't.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a huge separating of the wheat from the tares. Just a little biblical reference there.
Sure.
My own opinion. But what do you think, Logan?
I love it too. I mean, my family always had family home evening on Sundays. We never really did it on Mondays because we wanted to keep that same spirit from church and pull it into our homes. And now that, you know, this change is happening, it's great to see, you know, that entire church supporting that role. And now they're going, you know, oh yeah, so now just dedicate like an hour to yourself and learning for yourself. And that's the most important part, in my opinion, about the gospel is being able to learn it yourself. Because, you know, again, you can't rely on other people's testimonies, and a lot of people have to learn that. Everybody has to learn that.
Right.
So it's amazing that, you know, they're implementing that into our own, into the church, and being able to tell everybody, okay, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to church. You know, it's going to be great. We'll have, you know, off-laying Sunday school and Elders Quorum Relief Society, and then we'll send you home. And you can just learn, you know, for yourself, you know, learn, you know, like talk about what you learned in church,
right?
You know, and talk with your families. And it's great, you know, like you can already see, you know, the differences that people are experiencing because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, even to get a little personal, I felt a change. You know, I'm not going into like a sob fest or soapbox moment
here.
But No, it's you feel the difference. There's an accountability that comes with your personal testimony. And I really do like that about how they've structured this new home-centered, church-sponsored organization.
Church-supported.
Church-supported.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. You got the facts right. There you go.
No, it's all good. That's what I'm here for. Well, I'm a fact checker over here.
And that's great, too, because like they put that agency and that accountability on you even more now. Like right. they give you more options to choose for yourself, like what you want to learn and what you want to grow with your testimony. And so
I think a lot of the movements and decisions that they've made and the changes have to do with agency and putting it on the members to take care of not just themselves, but others, too.
Oh, yeah. That's how we're going to be, you know, pumped and ready for whatever is to come in the future.
Right.
Because just the way the world is heading, you know, you're going to really have to be individually strong to be able to handle the onslaught that's coming. I mean, the political system is just horrific right now. You know, I mean, the hatred and the vileness and everything that's being thrown side to side. And it's just a matter of time before that turns towards religion even more so.
Right.
And so you're going to have to really be strong on your own to be able to handle that on a daily basis, whether it's through social media or in person with people. All the changes. I mean, what are some of the other ones?
Well, we actually have ministering next on the list, and that actually carries into that. I do believe that no one person is intended to carry the weight of the world's problems or even the world's temptations. I mean, we're not built like that. God doesn't allow for that.
I can, but...
Careful with that. Careful. I feel the thunder brewing.
I know. The humility is coming.
But it's this new ministering thing that I want to move into next, too. It's the idea that we are now not going to be, okay, here's a checkbox. Did you go this week or did you go this month? Okay, check. Check,
well, and that was so impersonal. I mean, if you think about it, it was just, did you do it? And you just said yes. And now the meetings that we're having is, so tell me about this person.
Right.
You know, what do they need? What do you think the ward council should know about them? Or, you know, what can we do as a Relief Society presidency or Elders Quorum presidency to help this person? And I love that. I mean, that's so great because I can't go in there and just like BS my way through it, right? Like they could, if they know this person as well, they're going to know, be like, girl, you lying, you know, be like, you didn't do nothing.
Well, even so, it's like without our knowledge, because we're not a part of the ward council as just regular members, but it could be that you have been assigned to someone that is going through a particular challenge that the bishopric and ward council is aware of.
Well, and I've had that experience where I was told, like,
oh, really?
You've been assigned to this person because we really feel like your talents align with what they need.
Wow.
And, you know, and have I done a super great job in executing that? I've tried. It's definitely a challenge.
I think it's supposed to be.
Exactly. I'm growing through it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, so like, hold on. So like the best part about ministering, in my opinion, is they are taking us away from the, not just the tasks and the checking off, but also for me, when I was doing home teaching, when I was like, you know, like a priest or a teacher, we went and gave them another Sunday class, and that's what it was. And the best part about ministering for me is that it's just service, you know, like you get
or friendship.
Yeah. And you get to go and just be like, hey, you guys need anything? Like, you know, we can like help do some stuff around the house, you know, stuff like that. And it's great because I think that is the most important place to really build that relationship with not just, you know, the people you're helping minister, but also with, you know, with Heavenly Father. And is that being able to provide that service, and that's the best teacher is by example. So
yeah, I think it really helps establish that community because, I mean, no offense, but I've been a part. I mean, I was growing up, I was involved in like I was homeschooled. So the homeschool groups I was a part of. Yeah, man, where is that? Totally amazing. Not socially awkward or unintelligent either.
There you go.
Oh, man. Let's just talk about those stereotypes in another episode. And the community feeling inside the other Christian churches that I interacted with was amazing. And I was like, what's up with this? You know,
why can't we have that?
You know why? I mean, some congregations do, some wards do, and I felt it, and I'm like, wow, especially on my mission, there were some I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is a family. And there were some where I was like, this is painful, you know?
Right.
And ministering really helps, I think, to establish that family feeling. I mean, just last night I had the girl that I ministered to, she texted me and she was like, hey, can you give me a ride somewhere? Because her husband, they have one car, and he's working as a, I think, an EMT down in Shelley, and he had to close or do something like that. He's working out of Rexburg, and she had, the bishop called her in for an interview, you know, Tuesday nights. And it's freezing cold outside, and she didn't want to walk to the church building because it's a little bit of ways away.
That's
so
understandable.
Right.
Yeah. And so she's like, hey, could you give me a ride? And the thing is I felt like, I mean, I never had anyone I visit taught ever do that. Or did I ever do that for anyone who was my visiting teacher? Never. Right. I was like, I got this. I'll come with my own problems, or I'll talk to somebody who's actually my friend. But because we've built this friendship, like you were talking about, Logan, and this relationship where we've hung out, we've gone out for ice cream. I invited her over at like 11 o'clock at night one time just to come over and try this sherbet that I bought and homemade pizza.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. You're an awesome host.
I love 11 o'clock at night sherbet.
Right.
That's great.
I mean, you know, and she, and so we've developed this relationship. So she, I think that's part of the reason why she felt comfortable asking for help. And I also feel that way to where I'm more willing to turn around and do that to other people. My ministering sister's not super tight with. They've actually never met with me yet.
Right.
But they have reached out. They have reached out and, you know, gave me Christmas gifts. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But that friendship, you know, still has yet to be built. Anyway, I'm talking too long.
No, it's fine. I actually kind of wanted to add.
That's my point.
In my experience, I've had kind of the opposite end of it, and it's not sad, but I feel sad because of the experience, and I'll go into it, and I'm not going to keep it on the low note for very long, so just bear with me. I haven't yet met with any of the people that I have been asked to meet with. No special circumstances, nothing like that, and if they're listening, it's just, I want to get to know you. But before it was, if I don't go to meet these people, if I don't meet these people this month, I'm going to get in trouble, quote unquote.
It reflects badly on you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's been changed to ministering and not home teaching, I actually feel a genuine sense of love and compassion instead. It's the weirdest thing. But as you guys are enjoying being able to minister to your families and your roommates or whoever it is, for me, it's just that simple desire to make sure that they're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had that before with this kind of thing. And it's so powerful. It's so cool. I thought that I'd just share that and put that out there.
And I mean, you can always just think of it as, oh, it's just another way to get friends. And that's
totally
really,
that
really sets you up for, this isn't, you know, an assignment. This is just, you know, hey, you know, let's make some friends. And and to pull it back to the whole, you know, savior, you know, example is that's what he did, is he didn't do it because he was trying to check things off. He was doing it because he wanted to help people and he wanted to get to know everybody else. So it's just another way to follow him. So
yeah. And thank you for that too. All right, we're gonna jump into a few other topics. Just maybe two, maybe three. This idea that they've taken the high priest group and the elders quorum and merged them into some crazy like megazord
elders
quorum. The high elders.
The high elders.
And you know what I think is so funny? That we're talking about this here at BYU Idaho because it literally doesn't affect us here.
That's true.
You know?
Where are the high priests?
Because we don't have high priests.
If we do have high priests, it's people that have, like, from our age group that have been called to serve in that capacity.
Which,
like, singles
was
not as much,
few,
but it's very,
very
few.
Very few.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And so, like, if there was a high priest quorum in BYU Idaho, there was probably one.
Right.
You know, that had, like, a few members.
I will say, it's odd for me to go into a, like, when I'm visiting my wife's family ward or my family ward, it's really weird still after, like, a year or, like, 6 months, I don't know how long it's been, to go to your elders quorum and to see a bunch of older gentlemen there. And you're like, what are you doing? Oh, yeah.
That is so weird. That's so foreign because, like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, because obviously, as President Nelson said, the change was partially inspired by the Relief Society because we don't have any division
exactly.
like that. And so hearing you guys talk about it, like, it's so weird. I'm like, I don't know.
You grown up with this.
Like, this is completely normal. And also, as a missionary, it was kind of scary to send your older, my older investigators to High Priest Quorum because I'm like, oh, they are just in over their heads.
Right.
These guys are either going to
be
A.
So it's like the stigma.
Yeah, the total stereotypical, right? Because I've never been to High Priest Court.
Right.
But I've heard things, right?
Right. And everyone does. Everyone
and so
does.
It's like, it's going to be so boring, or they're going to talk about way too deep stuff for this person, and they need milk before meat, you know?
Right.
They need to ease them in, or they're crotchety and grumpy, or, you know, whatever. You know, I mean, given...
She says that, and we both start picturing someone in our head.
Yep. So it was a little concerning, whereas now they don't have that problem.
Right. I love that. Just so awesome. This is basically a President Nelson fan session.
yeah.
I heard somebody. Fast Sunday testimony meeting.
Yeah.
This last one that we had a sister get up and say, you know, we're all trying to keep up with Hustle M. Nelson. And she said, Hustle M. Nelson.
Nice.
But I was like, so many of us were just dying. I was so awesome. I was like, that is so right.
That is amazing.
Thank you for giving me a new nickname. I appreciate it.
I know.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that in my talk.
And it's not,
something.
You know, meant in any form of disrespect at all. It's a form of admiration.
Right.
That we're having to keep up with this 94-year-old man.
Exactly.
Who's thrown us for a loop here.
I think it's really cool that, like, we've gone through that. And, of course, we each love President Nelson. And I've gained my own testimony of what he's doing and what he's going for. We're going to end today with a little quick discussion about Come Follow Me. Personally, that was something that was introduced during my mission. And in a lot of ways, the aspects of what you learn...
You're dating yourself here, Dale. You're dating yourself.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Excuse me. Let me get my cane out
you
for a minute.
Old man.
But on my mission, and yes, I'm going to be that guy, the opportunity that we had to experiment with new kinds of teaching was starting to come out. And there's some additional, like, in-mission curriculums, per se, that you're supposed to learn. But I noticed that that same curriculum that you have going into the mission as a new missionary and then continuing was also carried over in the Come Follow Me stuff as it was released throughout the church.
Preach my gospel for life.
Right.
I'm just saying. What do they all say? PMG missionaries for life.
Right. So I have kind of a soft spot for this one. Like, all the other ones are very powerful and I'm passionate about them, but this one has a soft spot because it's actually shown... For me, it was a witness that Heavenly Father actually cares that I get to know him.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the idea that God is invested enough to call his prophet and his apostles and his other servants, bishops, stake presidents, area leaders, to make sure that I am taken care of. They provide the means, but it's up to me. God respects my agency. He wants me to get to know him and enjoy the blessings that he has in store. I don't know. It's without being too much of a soapboxy moment. That's what I feel, and that's what I have felt going into it. It's so cool.
Well, so, like, what they've done with this curriculum is that they've taken it and they have put it in the same direction that they've put everything else in. Everything that we've talked about this entire episode has just been, it's been all leading up for a Come Follow Me moment. Because, you know, with ministering and, you know, with so many other things, you are getting more and more into following Christ and to being like him. And with this curriculum, it's not just about, you know, learning about all the truths and the principles and stuff like that. It's about, you know, taking those and acting upon them. And what they've provided recently and all these changes with, you know, with the merging of the quorums and with you know, with ministering, it's all in the same direction. It's all trying to get you to be like him. So, and that's ultimately that's our goal. That's how we get you know, get into the celestial
literally
celestial
come
kingdom.
Follow me.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you do it. He is the way.
Right.
So, I wonder why they chose that title.
I know, right?
No, and honestly, as me and my husband decided to apply Come Follow Me as our family home evening lesson each week.
Huh.
And that's just what we decided that worked for us because we were doing something different in our personal studies and in our companionship study, you know, when
right.
we read scriptures together each night.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to just do this, so we're doing it for family home meeting, and it's been great and I've loved it. I mean, I know it's gonna, right now we're just doing almost like two chapters every week, which is super super light.
Right.
And I know it'll get heavier as we go along. They were smart and easing us into it.
Yeah.
but I I've really enjoyed it, and I can say that my first lesson having it be such a discussion-based type of a thing, and you know, the teacher wasn't going down this lesson plan
right.
that's been prepared, and read this quote, read this scripture, you know, I mean, those are great.
Yeah.
And you do need those resources sometimes when no one talks. Right. But it really did remind me of the mission field and how it's supposed to be, you know, follow the spirit, use inspired questions, try to get them to teach each other and things like that. I really liked that. And I'm going to really have to get good at this whole thing because I just got called as a gospel doctrine teacher.
There you go.
So I'm going to have to do that. Which I'm super excited because I've always wanted to be a teacher.
Right.
And I've never been one. Like I tell every bishop I've had, I love teaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. I would love this calling. All right, you're the music chairman. Okay, you're doing this. You know, and I'm like, did you not listen to me? But I know it's because I needed to learn things from those other callings, so it's fine.
And it's good that you recognize that. I feel good about this podcast. I'm really glad that we've had this opportunity to chat about this stuff. I've needed it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm being a little too sappy on this episode, so you got to forgive me. But I do appreciate the discussion that we've had. Thank you both for your comments. To close out, we'll just introduce ourselves for one last time and call it quits.
I'm Virginia Henry.
I'm Logan Miller.
And I'm Dale Spaulding. Thanks so much for listening to The Spot, where we're talking about what you're talking about on the campus of BYU-Idaho. Have a great day.
That's good.
The views and opinions in this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho Radio or the university and are solely the opinions of the hosts. You've been listening to The Spot, where we're talking about what you're talking about on the campus of BYU-Idaho. Today's hosts were Virginia Henry, Logan Miller, and Dale Spaulding. Editing by Adam Small, supervision by Brandon Isle.